The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. Manx Radio through till 1 today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. So, the new Treasury Minister is in place. I wonder what your advice would be to the new Treasury Minister if there was perhaps one, two, maybe three things you could say to the Treasury Minister. What would you urge him to do, to plan, to put into the budget, which happens on Pancake Day, by the way? Pancake Day is great, isn't it? Tuesday, 17th of February, 3 weeks next Tuesday, it's the budget, it's also Pancake Day. Shrove Tuesday. Lovely. There's a metaphor in there somewhere, isn't there? Perhaps the Treasury Minister could save money by dumping the 60 full-time equivalent posts dealing with communications and marketing. Surely if they did their jobs, policies wouldn't be so badly communicated to the public and new business would be rushing to the Isle of Man. And a note in just to say, did I say you on the programme yesterday that Laurie Hooper had stood down? Well, that was the message we got in, Chris. But we'll find out. And a note in to say, St John's Farm, important things, the St John's Farmers Market. Every Thursday, St John's Farmers Market's on till 3 o'clock in the Church Hall. Seasonal veg, fresh produce, Manx produce, and I think there'll be some Manx honey there as well. The Minimum Wage Committee, Brian dropped a note in just to say there were voices saying there were no workers on behalf of the Minimum Wage Committee. Well, the Minimum Wage Committee is a statutory committee consisting of an independent chair, two members representing employers and two members representing workers. They'd previously given a view and were ignored. The latest government position reflects the previous views of the statutory committee. Published information. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. Thanks for calling today with that. Let's hear from the new Treasury Minister, shall we? There's been a lot of activity in Tynwald so far this week. On Monday, when the reshuffle, the musical chairs happened in Comyn, the Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson, left. In came Mr. Thomas and Dr. Haywood went, and then in came Tim Crookall. So, Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas. 3 weeks and a bit before the next Manx budget is due. Here's what your new Treasury Minister has to say.
Well, it's quite close to a budget, so put a lot of people to some extra work. So in that sense, I was surprised. But I have talked to the Chief Minister. I've always said, if you want me back, it's on this basis. And so in that sense, I'm not surprised. It's not, firstly, it's going through sort of things in January, things in February, things in March. And then beyond that, we've got the general election. And ultimately, we're people's representatives, spending people's money, providing public services to people we represent. And so therefore, part of the next month is preparing for the election. But what I said in Tynwald is that there's still so much that needs to be done in the next few months, and I'm pleased to come back to work with the Chief Minister, the rest of the ministers, House of Keys colleagues, to do what we can in the time available.
It's not long enough to make a real difference, is it?
I think you'll find it is. I think in those 8 months we'll have to deal with the healthcare situation, and the Treasury's got a big role in that. I think you'll find that we have to deal with capital projects, choosing, you know, explaining to the public what happened on the promenade, what happened in Liverpool Forum and its ferry terminal, unveiling the cost of these schemes, choosing between projects in the future, unveiling the cost of all of these projects in the future, that there are some pretty significant moments even in the next 6 or 7 months. Government tends to speed up before an election, and I do think there will be decisions made. Ultimately, it comes down to two or three very simple issues. One of those is that we've got fewer reserves now. now effectively than politicians had 25 years ago or even 10, 15 years ago. And we've got to deal with that and manage the expectations and work out how to deal with that. Secondly, connectivity on and off the island, especially by air, is worse than it was 15 years ago, and we've got to deal with that. Thirdly, there are all the issues that come from the changing demography of the island, and we've got to deal with that. I could carry on listing them.
That's Chris Thomas. How do you feel about what he has to say? Do you agree? Do you disagree? What do you think about it? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Yes, it's confirmed, by the way, Laurie Hooper has resigned from his positions in DOI and DEFA after what happened on Monday. And I think there was a post on his Facebook page yesterday about... the fact he's exhorting everybody to join Liberal Vanin, which is unsurprising as he's the leader of the Liberal Vanin Party. So never let an opportunity go unused. Laurie Hooper also has resigned from DOI and DEFA, but of course remains one of Ramsay's MHKs. David's with us first today. Hi, David.
Hi, mate. I just wonder whether Mr. Hooper would want his AGM in a telephone box, because we don't have any anymore. And if he's looking for someone to have an AGM in it, maybe he could do it on the beach, like when it's really cold. But I just wanted to know, just to thank Tim Krugel. People don't know, but I'm going to release it anyway. He's written to all the local authorities offering the olive branch for chats. So that's a positive move. And I think some of the politicians, okay, they may be scorned for a while there now. But what are they doing now? The ones that have been, the ministers have been dumped. And members are probably out of different departments. I wonder what Tim's going to have in his department, obviously, when Hooper's gone. In my opinion, that'll be a blessing as far as I'm concerned, and I hope the people of Ramsay remember that, what he was trying to do to the community and not having consultation with them. Regarding the Treasury Minister now, isn't that good? He's going to tell us how much the costs for the promenade, what the issues are. He doesn't have to tell us everything, but give us an indication of what's gone on. If there's legal issues, just tell us. There's a bland story. It's maybe to do with contractual stuff and can't release it all. But we need to know how much we're going to be out of pocket for the future as we go towards the budget. And the final thing Andy was going to say too was regarding the minimum wage there. The politicians, and I still don't know why, maybe you know, or the listeners would know too, why did two MLCs not vote for that? I was quite surprised. The majority of them did, which was great, because we should be using, as the election comes forward there, the MLC should be actually doing something for us as a community for the future while the election's on, and the rest of them are trying to run around the Isle of Man trying to get support from the voters. And the other thing was, shouldn't say this, I filled my voters form in. It worries me a little bit about the bits and pieces on it there, to say that you are a voter. And then the other issue was when they were sent out to people's homes and they had different names on. It's never been explained to us by the data protection registrar for what he felt was, and why didn't government look at that first at the beginning? Well, if you know of any of the team and all the ministers are listening, the previous ones will be listening, maybe the new ones will be listening to us, you need to tell us who your team is now. Who have you got? It's like a football team, isn't it? Before we get to the match on Saturday, is to say to them, our team is X, Y, and Z now. And The nice bit I want to say was too, the little thing he did this morning about Onchan AFC and the two people who are coaches there, and Brian Callow, I want to mention it. He does a fantastic things for the island, all over to do with football. And he, as far as I'm concerned, he gets my praise. Okay?
All right, good to hear from you. Thank you, David. And there's a very interesting story this morning about the neurodiverse teams that are being supported by Onchan Football Club. Great story. And David reminded me, and possibly you, because my voter registration form is sitting on the mantelpiece. I haven't done it yet, so have you done yours yet? Make sure you are available to vote. because, of course, if you don't vote, you're not allowed to moan. That's the law. Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Yes, I haven't stood down.
Yeah. You haven't stood down. I should hope not to. I should hope not. We need to keep this program going. A week in politics. My goodness, how things happen. You don't come on for a week and look at everything that's happened. My goodness. Just going over a few points on what's happened over the last week. And people were saying about the timing of this from Al Cannon. And I think I probably go along with most people who've said in the last week or so, it was well overdue. The timing's not the best, but it should have been done a long time ago. And I suppose he's stuck for ministers to put in place, but he needs ministers that he can get movement from. And I think he's kind of got himself surrounded by ministers who were not voting with him. So let's hope that what's happened now has moved things on down the road a little bit. Chris Thomas is probably, Chris will be listening to this, I'm sure he's an avid listener, probably the most experienced politician that we've got internationally. He's worked at the banking system in China and Ukraine. So internationally, he's very well placed. Chris has flip-flopped a few times when he was in DOI with a few things, so let's hope he's steady at the wheel with what's coming round the corner for us. Tim Krukol as well. The last time Tim was in DOI briefly, it sounded like he was going to do some good things, and then there was a cabinet reshuffle very quickly, if I remember rightly, Andy. He wasn't in very long, and he was moved out. So let's hope Tim can get a little bit more reasoning into what's going on. And I think the Treasury Minister before was, you look at people who work in Treasury and they've said, well, we get a new boss at best every 4 years. It's very hard to plan because someone comes in with a different idea. You have to change your logics and everything of how to work. And ministers have been told before, do you want the gold-edged version of something or do you want what we can afford? So, you know, again, that along with people who were at the top end and the decisions. It was interesting that Alf said a shill of socialism was going through the air. It was a very interesting statement, that, Andy, I thought.
Well, I mean, the fact is that we're not a socialist state. We rely, you know, we have to pay our way in the world, and our public services have to be paid for by tax revenues that come from business and industry.
Indeed, and that was an interesting statement that he put out there. Going on to Michelle Hayward, and she's herself taken to internet quite a lot now and done reports everywhere on how unfairly she's been treated. But I think, Michelle, if you'd have spoken to people a little bit more reasonably along the way and treated people a little bit more reasonably with the way you spoke to them and done the job that people were asking, we wouldn't have got to this situation, maybe. I think probably the final nail in the coffin, though there was many, was Sue's approach on the Manning line last Friday, I think it was, with the EATC from Ronald's Way. Which, again, is interesting what Sue puts out there, considering we want to be an international player on an international field of the state of play within the airport. And I think I mentioned on this programme some time ago of someone who'd taken up the job of security down there. And his words to me were, I can see why the guy before had a heart attack. It's a mess. So this has been going on for some time. And it's not new. So the question you have to ask is, why hasn't this been picked up on? Is that because we have an airport manager who was not based on the island and not overlooking things? But that doesn't answer all the other problems that we've got. We've now got Beefgate coming up, I think. We've got the overspend at the meat plants. So we've got Beefgate coming up. We've still got the access zone bill, which really needs to be attended by Tim Krukol as well. And like the dynamic signage at the schools you were talking about, Julian was talking about yesterday. Why do they have this convoluted ideas? And I'd like Anne Corlett to actually clarify what she meant by ring road before it goes out of context and the internet gets lit up with it. She can clarify what she meant by that, because surely dynamic signage at schools is the best way forward. They can be switched on at 8 o'clock in the morning, switched off when all the kids are in school, switched back on again later. So then the traffic will flow freely, and the light up dynamic signage will be in place. I think they have it at Kew Egg, and it works quite effectively.
I got a message in, Joe, and I got a message in from a lady called Leslie, who emailed me in from Ramsey yesterday after the programme and said, I've got an idea for keeping traffic calm outside schools, and that is a lollipop lady. Bring back the lollipop ladies. They'll calm everything down.
Well, it'd have to be a lollipop person in this brave new world, Andy.
Oh, I do apologise.
And just looking at the last 2 days at Davos, looking at international things which are going to affect the island and everything that's going on there, it's very interesting this year what's going on. It's strange because 5-6 years ago, if you spoke about the World Economic Forum and Davos, no one really knew about it. But this year, everyone's kind of talking about it, especially with Trump's presence there. But I was interested in the American speaker talking about the amount of electricity that's going to be used by server farms coming up, and that they won't be able to cope with it with the new wind turbine initiative. There's got to be solid fuels there to help this along. So it was interesting there relating to how much electricity our server farms are using on the island, which is getting used.
Well, you know what my approach to all this is, Juan, and I'm thinking of buying about a dozen pots of paint and painting 2 and 9 on the side of Manx Radio on Douglas Head, so everybody sees the figure 29 and reminds us all of the future, exactly what it is we're paying now and how much we're going to pay in the future. I mean, around the world, everybody else pays far less per kilowatt hour than we do on the Isle of Man, and the UK as well, but we're not terribly bothered about them. But electricity on the Isle of Man is expensive.
It is, and as I've said on here before, places that I've been, and I've said before about the price and the cost of electricity in them places. So, yes, we're paying a lot. But the interesting thing as well, I think on the island we have a two-rate system. So I think, is it server farms and maybe other companies have a cheaper rate than what everyone else is
there getting. Is an industrial discount, yes.
Yeah. So as far as server farms go and the money that they're making out of doing that, is that fair to the local people that they're getting that? Are we getting something back in return into the economy or enough to cover that? And also, like I think Julian mentioned before about the green credentials of it as well. So there's a lot to be looked at and a lot of things for this new government to look at. But just on finishing, an interesting note there, we do need a steady hand at the realm, looking at what Sweden announced the other day, that people should be prepared for war and that properties and cars could be confiscated in the future of war. So these things are rattling round all over the place internationally, and I think we should, like I've said for a long time now, be very mindful of our own people and our own island, our food sustainability and everything else, because I think we've definitely got a rocky road coming up.
All right.
Cheers, Andy.
Good to hear from you. 24 minutes past 12. Thank you, June. And Sue's on with us now. Hi, Sue.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. I'm phoning with regard to the change in law regarding organ donation, and which now requires an opt-out decision if you don't wish to be an organ donor. This is all very well if you go online, but I'm a person that doesn't go online. And this morning I phoned the number which is on the leaflet published by Public Health, Isle of Man Government, only to find that this number, they now say, is the line is closed, and to visit this website, which they give. I've also tried phoning government office to see if there's a number available, and they were not able to assist me. So I'm just wondering, for those of us who don't go online, how are we meant to register our wishes?
So the phone number's not working?
Well, the phone number available on this leaflet, which they give a number for UK organ donation register, 0300 12323, and then when you get to option two regarding organ donation, it says that this line is no longer available, and to visit a website, which I'm not able to do, I don't go online, and so I'm just wondering, how am I meant to register my wishes?
Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Particularly for something that's as important as this.
Well, this is it. This is why I'm wondering, is there a number available locally? Surely there should be a number in the Isle of Man that you can ring and register your decision.
Well, if anybody knows a particular number, I mean, Public Health is 642639. Did you try that? That's Public Health at Markwell House in Marcus.
I haven't. Sorry, I'll just take that down if I may.
642639. 642639. Yeah, that's the Public Health there.
This leaflet is published by Public Health. It says, I got it in the library. Yes, it's published by Public Health.
Yeah. Well, try them, see what they suggest, because there will be lots of people who simply don't want to engage online or can't engage online and have to. Obviously, you have to make a decision, because this is, of course, I think it only applies if you die in hospital. I think if you pass away at home, it doesn't matter. They can't take organs or what have you. But I think it's if you die in hospital.
It says here on this leaflet that if you don't register your decision, you're automatically considered an organ donor.
Oh, good grief. Right, okay.
Right. So it is quite worrying.
We'll try and find out, Sue. But as I say, give Public Health a call and see if they've got anything to say. And
I will do,
report
yes.
back to us, Sue.
Well, if anybody is able to assist me with a number, if I can't get any help from Public Health, perhaps you could let me know.
Well, if we get a definite number, I'll announce it on air, Sue.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Andy.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, 28 minutes past 12, and let's get to the lines in just a few moments' time. If you've got a number, by the way, for organ donation, if there is, if you can't do it online, and that's what they're exhorting you to do, the website, there's a special website for it. If you know how you do it otherwise, the website is publichealth.gov.im, and there's a page called Organ Donation in the Isle of Man. But if you don't want to do that, the Data Protection Officer for Public Health, as I say, is 642639, and the Isle of Man Information Commissioner, 693260. I wonder what their advice will be.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
Make your New Year's resolutions stick. Come to Nicola Bowker & Co. for all your business support, from accounts and tax to payroll and startups. Nicola Bowker & Co. we can help you reach your goals in 2026.
Geoffrey, I do love the view from our new slide and patio doors from Spectrum Windows, with trees, fields and Snaefell in the distance.
Yes, and I've got a smashing view of Madeline. What a beauty.
Geoffrey!
Don't worry. Madeline's my new prize pig. Look, she's as happy as a pig in muck.
Oh, Geoffrey, she is a pig in muck.
Improve your outlook with sliding patio doors. Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from $199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic, Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420 420. That's 420 420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Diane's with us now. Hello, Diane.
Hello. I was just listening to Sue, and I can quite agree with her. The people that were born in the 40s, 50s and mid-60s are being left behind with technology that we cannot get to grips with. I got the post office review, and I was going to send that in. That is completely beyond what I could understand. I couldn't fill it in because there was, it was all, go online, do this, go and get a computer. Why, when we're in our 70s and 80s, why should we bow and kowtow and go and buy a computer to struggle to do it? I just refuse to do it.
Have you?
I think we're being left behind, and we're not being considered.
What would you like to happen, Diane?
Well, I think for the people that can't, there should be more understanding that people don't want to use a computer or can't use a computer. I mean, everything is go online, do this, do that. And it's all online or go podcast. I mean, I don't know what a podcast is. And I mean, I had to ask my daughter the other day what AI was. I thought it was artificial insemination. And it was artificial something else. And I'm sorry, I'm not being stupid. It's just because I cannot take it in. And I can't, I just don't understand it. And there's other people. And I mean, one MHK, very naughtily, a few years ago when there was a thing, said that it's about time we went and learnt. Well, why should we have to go at 70 and 80 and 90, go and learn new things?
So I
it's
mean,
hard to take in.
Yeah, do you, I mean, have you ever had a computer at all? Do you have a smartphone or anything?
I've had a computer and I've stopped using it because it frightens me. I'm frightened of being scammed. I'm frightened of touching the wrong thing. It's just beyond me now. I have to get my daughter to do things.
Right. So as far as, obviously where this is concerned regarding organ donation, if you haven't opted out...
I've opted out. I managed to get... I got through that.
Oh, did you?
I did get a paper letter back.
Right. Okay. So when did
it
you?
It's the fact that we're being left behind because the computer world is taking over too quickly for the older ones to grasp.
Right. So when did you leave technology, Diane? When was the last time that you were using stuff? 20 years ago or what?
Oh, no. I mean, if I really wanted to do, I could go online. But I don't see why I should struggle and worry myself. I mean, I can't understand. And I mean, my daughter says, Mother, don't go on, you're dangerous. And I feel now, I'm frightened of what I'm doing.
Well, with that in mind, you're probably doing exactly the right thing in case you press something wrong and somebody...
Yeah.
What about your banking? Do you bank online?
No. I go to the bank and draw money out.
Right. And what? Has your daughter tried to, teach her this sort of stuff?
Well, she's got a family of her own. She's got responsibilities of her own. Why should they have to come here and spend... I mean, I got a new phone and it took her most of the afternoon to sort it out. Well, it's not fair to her when she's got responsibilities of her own.
Right. How much of a disadvantage do you feel you're at, Diane?
I feel that we're very disadvantaged. I mean, personally, as I said... If I really wanted to do, I could struggle and do things, certain things. But I think there's lots of people that I know that haven't got a computer, so they're very disadvantaged.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And you've given us a laugh anyway when you thought AI was artificial insemination.
Yeah, I honestly did think it was that. Right. I didn't know what AI was.
Okay. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
24 minutes past one. A question for the Treasury Minister, 450, says, now you'll get sight of the offshore wind farm agreement for lease. Will you let the public know what the deal is in terms of economic benefits? How much are we getting to rent the Morvannin seabed to Ørsted? Mr. Hooper is on the offensive, in my view, and that of many friends on the island. His approach is unhelpful. We need more Manx politicians in September, says Joan. I'm confused, says 475. Sounds like the government suddenly realised the direction it was travelling is wrong, and this after 4 years. Surely there's a mechanism to provide oversight and review throughout the life of a parliament, not just an election year. I can't help but feel the government's been a group of people with no overall plan and even less ability to enact one. That's 475's view. I feel that what Alf Cannon did was too little too late, and this is serious backpedalling now with our election just around the corner. This is Tony. We the people have been treated like second-class citizens by this government. We will have our say in September. I do hope the lady who was an ex-air traffic controller isn't now being ignored with a change of ministers. Her views need to be heard. That was Sue who phoned up last Friday. Advice, Paul texted in now, advice for the new Treasury Minister is stop making workers pay national insurance on second jobs. It'll encourage people to work harder and achieve goals. It'll give workers more money to spend in the economy. And Howard's joined us now on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. It seems a strange thing now that... the Treasury Minister, who brought a private a members bill, and another one that's Larry Hooper, another private members bill, that have taken up most of the 4 years, that the problems have all been occurring and reoccurring within government because of the time that's been taken. And, of course, Michelle Haywood, she's not long in the job, but she's going to be, well, I don't know if she'll get back in again. But she had got in so far, then got a sudden rise to ministerial position and became dictatorial. So Alf Cannon must have said, enough's enough, and off you go. But all through the period of the last government, get rid of the bishop and the... assisted dying bills. They've occupied a tremendous amount of time and important time because of the financial situation, not only the island, but the whole of the UK, because it'll all come under the
after COVID, which you keep getting blamed for, period. And so for those two to go, or those three to go, it may level the ground a bit, and let's see, the government is still running, but in the right direction.
How do you feel? What's your gut reaction, Howard, after what happened on Monday?
Personally speaking, I think Alf Cannon, he's taken a very late decision to do this, but I think he's made the right decision. Let's hope that the time that we've got left is going to steady the boat, because it's another 5 years ahead of us that if we have a similar situation to what we've been going through, this place is going to be, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's not going to move anywhere. But what I was coming on for is something you just mentioned to that lady that was on the Indigo, and I was thinking about it yesterday. The opt-out for the organ donation, it's taken a long time to get through, and I think it's come into being now. And myself, and I should imagine a lot of others, are not completely au fait with it. Now, I remember a little while ago you had Martin Perkins on.
Yeah.
And he was talking about this, and how he was hoping it would go through the bill and everything like this and the other. Well, I hope his wishes have been granted and the opt-out has come into being on the island, which will make life a whole lot simpler for the organ donation. Right, well, as I say, I worked, and you know, at the airport, and I used to see aircraft coming in on a regular basis. I had three down there one night with three lots of surgeons waiting to harvest. It's not a nice word, but that's what they use, organs to go to various people throughout the UK. And this was late at night. Now, I don't know what the situation is now for harvesting the organs, whether they go off the island and are done in a hospital across. But either way, can the Manx Radio ask Martin Perkins or somebody else that's of the similar ilk, because he explains in layman's terms what the situation is, and it'll be an explanation would be very much appreciated.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. All right, 18 minutes before one, and well, if that is the case, in that flights come in late at night, if organs are being harvested to take back to the UK, it's to be hoped we've got an air traffic controller on duty.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Oh, blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner, Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire, kindling and firelighters all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Back pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Tricky situations can be solved better in a relaxed space with fresh eyes.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Imagine arriving at your favourite beach or beauty spot. It's early morning and it's just you. Ready to feel good.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And let's get to the phones. I think we've got Eddie with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. I was listening to you before about the big paint the numbers on 29, was it?
Do you think I should paint 29 on the side of Manx Radio on Douglas Head? Paint it in big red numbers.
Now, I presume that is what we're paying for electricity tomorrow, is it?
About 29p per kilowatt hour, yeah.
Well, when I was on yesterday, I mentioned Advance UK and the guy called Paul Burgess. Well, his party is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, a bit like Reform, and getting a lot of popularity. And their figure, their aim, if everything went to their way of doing things, guess what that figure would be? They've actually quoted a figure.
Right, what is it?
12.
12p per kilowatt hour.
Exactly, yeah. So, for all those out there who think you can't do it at 12, I suggest that they go online and listen to Advance UK, and they'll explain it all for you. So at the moment, you see, we do everything the hard way. How much do we pay back for the electricity that we're selling electricity to pay off a debt, aren't we?
Well, the thing is, we've also got the bond to pay on the power station as well. So we've got all sorts of debt that's loaded on. So we're not just paying for the electricity. We're paying for the whole financial model of the power station.
That's right, yeah. So that really, something needs doing about that. We should be getting to grips with that and get rid of the bonds, the debts and everything on it and get it back to par. A level board so that we can work from there. At the moment, it's so complicated what they've created that it's just not surprising that everything's stupidly priced. And we're the highest priced in Europe, I believe.
Well, the thing is, Eddie, at the moment, of course, everybody, you know, moans and belly aches about finance nowadays, purely because the financial tide's gone out. After the banks crashed in 2008, nothing's been the same. And of course, the financial tide's gone out, and we can see what's on the beach. We can see all the wreckage that's on the beach. When the tide's in, what they say, a rising tide floats all boats. Do you remember 25 years ago when everything was getting built? You couldn't move for money on the Isle of Man. But now times are different.
Yeah, but we could create it again, couldn't we? Just take, for instance, you know, this wind farm thing that's just been turned down in the... in the Irish Sea on the east coast there. The amount of money that is involved in that, it was tremendous. But we won't get any benefit of it. What we've got to do is start looking for things that we would get the benefit of. And we've said it over and over again. Why are we not finding out if there's gas off Macleod? We should find out if it's possible to get geothermal energy. But we've been so negative in not even looking at these things. All we've done is gone down the stupid track. And now, like we've said over and over again, wind is not the way. It's just not economically. A lot of the companies are having problems now because the figures that they gave you in the old days were to try and sell the thing. Now that they've got to be honest with people, the lifespan of these wind turbines is about a third of what they actually said to start with. And the MUA and the Isle of Man even exaggerated that a bit more by saying that we're the windiest place in the world when we're not. You know, and they said we'll get 70-odd% of time it will be generating electricity, which we know it won't. So come, let's start again afresh.
Okay. All right, Eddie, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Pleasure.
Good to hear from you. A note in from Wendy, who just said, what's this I hear about the offshore wind off the Isle of Man being cancelled? It's not the Ørsted one. The company behind the offshore wind farm off the Lancashire coast has withdrawn the project, according to Andrew Snowden, MP for The Fylde. The Morgan offshore wind farm project would have seen 96 turbines built more than 20 miles off the Fylde coast, and they say would have produced 1,500 megawatts, enough electricity to power 2 million homes every day. But the Morgan pulled out after failing to secure the UK government support, saying the current investment climate, the project's no longer economically viable. They're finding out what it doesn't stop somebody else coming in and nipping in and applying for the job. But at the moment, that one there. And we'll find out as soon, because everybody keeps asking what's happening with the Ørsted. Well, obviously, that's in the planning stage on the Isle of Man. And obviously, Ørsted will, by definition, not be saying anything. Commercial confidentiality while it's going through planning. But we'll find out. We'll just find out what's going to happen. And thank you. Thank you, too. That's very useful. I got a definition of a podcast, and it comes in from, is it Nick? Oh, no, Martin. Hi, Martin, who just said, that lady who wondered what a podcast is. A podcast is basically an electronic cassette that's sent through your letterbox, which is your computer. A podcast is just basically a cassette, what you used to put on a cassette, whether it was music or speech. It's the same sort of thing. That's a very good way of saying that. We've got lots of Max Radio cassettes, hundreds and hundreds of the darn things. You'll be there all day listening to Max Radio podcasts. They're all accessible at maxradio.com. I emailed the address on the voting leaflet to ask for advice about jury service eligibility and was told they couldn't help. Is that phone number wrong too as well? Have you filled out your voting slip for the election later on this year? Because there is also a jury service thing there. And is that true then, that that phone number doesn't work? Another message in, just asking for some information, and this is Dean, who just said, what was that story all about Manx Care and lots of money spent on reviews and reports? £660,000 over the last two financial years. The figure covers six pieces of work on a range of topics, including a governance review, ambulance demand, and adult learning disabilities. £663,149, published in response to a Freedom of Information request from Manx Radio, five reports from over the 24-25 financial period, and one for the current year. Specific totals for the reports haven't been included, but the most costly review was carried out by a company called Meridian Productivity for between £250,000 and £500,000. A report into Manx Care waiting list shows the company was commissioned to identify productivity opportunities across all outpatient clinics. The heck does that mean? Productivity opportunities across all outpatient clinics. And a message in from Mark, who just said, I didn't hear much of it, but Andy Gibbs, who runs Jax, was on Manx Radio talking about the problems that the hospitality sector has got. And when I heard somebody talking about ministers giving in to special interest groups, I hope they don't mean the hospitality sector. Because this correspondent says a lot of people in the hospitality sector aren't just struggling, they're on their knees. And these are the people who have to keep a smile on their face when you go in and order food and drink at their place. So could we hear that, Andy Gibbs? Well, this is Andy Gibbs. He's on the board of the Local Economy Forum and chair of the Licensed Victuallers. And he said collaboration with government is key, particularly in labour-intensive industries like hospitality. This is Andy Gibbs.
We're not looking for handouts, which is exactly what we didn't want, which was basically going to be pushed through until the changes with the ministers. What we wanted was tax credits for the lower paid, so that the strain wasn't put on the businesses at the minimum wage level, and basically we paid money back in a tax credit that was phased in and out as the more you earned in minimum wage.
How do you regard the 1225 at the moment? In April, the 1346 is coming in.
Well, the 1225 is, I know, I can understand that it affects some people, but here in our group, I think we only entry level people on that. I mean, the biggest problem that I think a lot of our members have got is the 18 or 16 really to 21 year old age group being on the same, well, the 18 year olds to 21s are on the same minimum wage as 21s and over, which is, you know, the 18 year olds, they're entry level into our industry here, you know, so, and you know, they haven't got the experience that some of the others have. So what it has a knock-on effect that if you have to pay those people that minimum wage and you have to pay the other people, the more experienced people...
You'd like to see more bands, would
yes,
you?
I would, yeah. Like we used to have, you know, we used to have that. And they have it in the UK, so I don't know why we changed it. Normally, young people, they live at home with their parents and whatever, you know, they're just doing it for a bit of pin money, but a lot of them, you know, some of them are at college and what have you. But what I would want to do with the ministers is basically engage more, talk more, let them get the feel of what's happening out in the real world.
Does that make sense to you? That's Andy Gibbs from Jack's talking about the whole system of the minimum wage and the increments that are there, and also that tension that may be there from younger wage earners to older, more experienced wage earners. In the UK, the organ donation system operates under an opt-out model, meaning all adults are considered potential donors unless they explicitly opt out. Well, that's us. To register your decision online, apparently you can call the NHS donation line 0300 123 2323. I think, did Sue mention that? 0300 123 2323. Now, if you get any joy from that, please let us know. People don't realise to donate a major organ, certain conditions must be met. Many people are uncomfortable with an opt-out system and feel it's unethical to expect people to opt out to prevent organ donation. I've received 6 human cornea transplants over the last 30 years, says Jamie. It's disappointing to hear callers in their 70s and 80s say they wish to opt out of organ donation. They've benefited from medical advances throughout their lives, and I feel donating organs after death could help others in need. Charles said, I agree with that. Diane, people in their 70s and 80s grew up in a different world and can't be expected to suddenly be familiar with the online world and downloading apps. Their needs shouldn't be brushed aside by the authorities. It may be less of a problem in future as people become more used to computers. Online access can be disrupted when websites or browsers are updated without regard for people who can't afford to regularly upgrade their mobiles, tablets and other devices. You have to upgrade your apps very regularly now, don't you? Right, back tomorrow with another open line. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. WINT.